Save big money at Menards. Gorilla tapes, glues, and adhesives are perfect for jobs around the house, indoors and out. Gorilla Heavy Duty Construction Adhesive has a 100% waterproof formula that provides a secure bond on any surface. From trim work to landscape block to hanging mirrors, it's all-purpose and holds in 30 seconds. Pick it up for your project and head to Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Raina Troy Hotline.
Alicia, Michael, what's going on?
We know you have takes. We have takes.
I'm actually surprised that your rant line, rave line, whatever, isn't completely full.
Why can't we just win a game?
Can I blame Michael Castillo for this?
Can I blame Bob Connolly for this?
Could I put on a zebra shirt and just go out there?
Scratch, claw, up against the wall.
Can't explain that what I'm feeling right now, guys.
I can't believe it.
Let's open up that rave line! Woohoo!
Oh, I can't believe USD has hired Lincoln Riley. Oh, yeah!
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Raina Troy Radio, episode 485, coming to you on Monday, May 22nd. We're going to talk about the big shakeup at USC. Mike Bone is out as USC's athletic director. It was a big sort of surprise that came out on Friday. We're going to talk about that and so much more here on this episode. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at Raina Troy. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/Raina Troy. Be sure to join us here live on YouTube every Monday night at 5 p.m. Except next week, there won't be an episode on Memorial Day, but we'll talk about that more later. And as always, you can join us here in our YouTube membership. You get bonus episodes for members only, and join our Discord as well. You can subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts, we are there. Spotify, TuneIn, wherever you like to listen to your podcasts, we are there. And as always, I'm your host, Mike Castillo, journal along with my co-host here in the Raina Troy Studio in Los Angeles, Alicia Derritola. Welcome.
Hello, everybody.
Hello. We are back for a live episode that has a lot to talk about. We talked about it last week that we're sort of getting to the point in the off season where it's a little bit difficult to sort of come up with, you know, a rundown full of news when there's not really news. Like, May is basically the dead period of content, which also makes it fun because we can talk about, you know, off the wall stuff. We can rank USC's Pac-12 wins like we did last week. But we got stuff to talk about for real this time, because on Friday, the Mike Bone news came out, and I think we just have to get right into it, right? I think there's no beating around the bush.
It's clearly the biggest news at USC this summer. At least, I mean, it's going to be the thing that we're talking about for, the last time USC had to look for an athletic director, it took months.
Yeah,
so
months.
We could be talking about this well into the season, and it the framework in a very, very important year for USC, the last year of the Pac-12, moving into the Big Ten. Like, this was not an ideal time to lose an athletic director. This is big. We're going to have to spend some time on it.
All right, let's get to the news. All right, like we said, Mike Bone out as USC's athletic director. There was a statement that was from Mike Bone that was put out on Friday where he starts, after 40 years of college athletics leadership, it is the right time to step away from my position as director of athletics at University of Southern California. I've dedicated my life to serving student athletes and advancing the enterprise of intercollegiate athletics. I will always be proud of leading the program out of the most tumultuous times in the history of the profession. And at USC, with a restored reputation and national milestone accomplishments. I led the process to join the Big Ten. Yada, yada, yada. Goes on and on and on and says that at the end, I'm moving on and important now that I focus on being present with my treasured family, addressing ongoing health challenges, and reflecting on how I can be impactful in the future. That was from Mike Bone. And really, this came out at the same time that there was a letter to the Trojan community from the office of the USC president, Carol Foltz, which was sent to students, faculty, staff, eventually media, which Carol Foltz, you want to read that one?
Yeah, Carol Folt said, "Dear Trojan community, I'm writing to let you know that I have accepted Mike Bone's resignation as director of athletics effective today. On behalf of the Trojan family, I thank Mike for his contributions to our athletic department during a time of rapid transformation and growth. We will be announcing a transition team comprising both internal and external leaders in the coming days, and will launch a national search for a new director of athletics shortly. Over the last 4 years, the USC Athletics Department has transformed into a national powerhouse. In our singular pursuit of excellence, I am committed to ensuring we have the right leadership in place to achieve our goals. As part of that commitment, and as we prepare to move to the Big Ten, we conducted a thorough review of the Athletics Department, including the operations, culture, and strategy. Having built a strong foundation over the last few years, now is the time for a new direction grounded in our values and in expertise needed to fulfill our aspirational vision for Trojan athletics. I am proud of how far we have come, and I know we can go even further. We are laser focused on positioning USC and our student athletes for success and continuing momentum of our student-centric athletics programming programs with excellence on and off the field. We will keep you updated about our progress."
Yeah, that was from USC President Carol Foltz. And so at the moment, you see the Mike Bone thing, you see the Carol Foltz stuff. And
at about 1:15,
yeah,
on Friday, because I was in the middle of a meeting with my boss.
There you go.
And I'm looking over and the Discord is popping off. And I'm like, oh, of course, this would drop while I'm in the middle of a meeting with my boss. So that's fun.
Yeah. And of course, there's uncertainty, like, this came out of nowhere. What does this mean? Mike Bone mentions the word health in his statement, but there's no well wishes of health stuff in Carol Folt's statement. So does that mean anything? I don't know. It's this massive like conundrum of like, well, this was out of left field. I what was your first reaction?
It felt like out of left field. It was weird. It was strange. It felt like a Friday news dump. And
yeah,
I want to shout out Dan in the Discord because I think he clocked it immediately that like there's something that feels weird about this. And USC doesn't just get to do a Friday news dump where the athletic director resigns in the middle of May, mm-hmm, when the Big Ten move is coming, and have us not be suspicious about what the reasons for it were. And there were a lot of people parsing statements, like you said, the health questions. Is it a health issue? Is Mike Bone okay? Do we need to give him well wishes? Parsing the Carol Foltz statement about needing a new direction and doing a review of the department, and this all of it just felt off. And we didn't have to wait very long
to
find out why.
There also wasn't a joint effort of releasing this from, say, the athletic department.
There was no tweets from USC.
There wasn't like a pretty graphic put out, nothing like that, which you would expect if this was just Mike Bone stepping down or retiring or whatnot. Also, the word resignation is not retiring.
Yeah.
Like those are two different words. And so then it comes out from Ryan Carchi over at the LA Times, that there are potentially more details to this. The LA Times reports on questions about inappropriate comments and behaviors by Mike Bone, along with several questions of his management and athletic department. Ryan Carchi also detained allegations of inappropriate behavior by Bone, including unwanted physical contact at Cincinnati. You want to get into the details here?
Yeah, so I'm just Ryan Carchi's piece for the LA Times is very well reported. He talked to a lot of people. It's extensive. So go read that if you want more of the details. I think the near the beginning of the article, they do a good job of summing up the issues. So as to the misconduct allegations at USC or the inappropriateness at USC, this is from the article. Bone made inappropriate comments about the physical appearance of female colleagues, including remarks about their dress, hair, and weight that staff members said made them feel uncomfortable, according to two USC sources with knowledge of the incidents. They spoke on condition of anonymity, fearing retaliation. They said Bone's comments left colleagues, especially women, feeling awkward. Three USC sources said several people confronted Bone about the comments they felt were inappropriate, but the comments continued. That's one element of the story, and that's backed up by some pretty extensive reporting from Cincinnati, where the head trainer at Cincinnati said that he witnessed instances of unwanted physical contact. There were named sources in the article talking about questionable behavior comments by Bone regarding just behavior across the board, comments about the sexuality of a coworker, all of that kind of stuff. None of it good. As to the management of the athletic department, which is, I think, another interesting wrinkle in all of this, this is from the article. The Times spoke to six USC sources who raised concerns about his management of the department. Several described him as a poor manager who missed meetings he was expected to attend and was often absent from key events, including USC national championship victories. Multiple sources alleged employees left meetings with Bone without direction and that he shied from difficult conversations. Two former USC coaches told the Times that Bone's leadership of the department was a primary reason that they left. So that's the other element of this. And I think it's important to discuss both of these things, because on the one hand, you have what feels to me, and I don't want to downplay any of the behavior at any point. None of it is acceptable. But I will say, just as a woman living in the world who sees stories like this on a regular basis, this is par for the course. A figure in power in a company or an organization was inappropriate with the women around him, made inappropriate comments, made inappropriate gestures, did inappropriate things, didn't take feedback well, and he gets nixed because of it. That feels like a story we have all heard before.
Right.
The management allegations are really interesting, though. Because this is not just an issue of Mike Bone was out of touch. This is an issue of, was Mike Bone good at his job? Which sort of shakes the foundation of our perception of the USC athletic department in the Mike Bone era. Because if you look down the laundry list of accomplishments in these last 4 years, he brought Lincoln Riley to USC. His baseball hire looks immaculate. USC is going to is well seated in the Pac-12 tournament. Looks like they're headed for the College World Series tournament, which
the NCAA tournament. Let's not get ahead of
I'm not saying ourselves. College World Series. I'm just saying, you know, the tournament, whatever. Yeah. The basketball program feels strong. The football program feels strong. The baseball program feels strong. USC just won national titles in you know, beach volleyball and in other realms. It feels like the program was turned around in terms of a competency question. This undercuts all of that, or at least Mike Bone's role in all of that. Not what has been accomplished, but how important was Mike Bone to those accomplishments? Which is something we can talk about. Like, is that a good thing for USC? Is this ultimately, in the grand scheme of things, if you're going to lose your athletic director to a scandal, is this ultimately a net positive for USC where,
I'm going to stop you right there. I think it's difficult to say that something can be a net positive when it ends up in sort of a, like,
well, it's never a net positive when people had to literally deal with this.
Right.
This affected the quality of life of the people working for USC. That's definitely a bad thing.
This is one of those things where, you know, there's a lot of nuance here, because on one hand, and I tweeted this Friday at the very beginning, this on the surface, in terms of on-field performance, the national perception of the athletic department, the local perception of the athletic department, all of that, Mike Bones' reign as an athletic director appeared to be the best in decades at USC. Appeared to be at the time. And like I tweeted on Friday, obviously the legacy is going to change dependent on how everything's kind of sorts out here. But as of that moment, when the word came out, the original, resignation came out, you were hard pressed to find a public complaint about Mike Bone, which I think underscores how frustrating this is from the SC perspective, in the sense that SC seemingly did something right. They went out and they hired a guy who had experience. They hired a guy who wasn't just a famous SC football player that everyone knew. They hired someone who came in, changed a lot of the ways things were done. Whether he did that or delegated someone to do that, insert Brandon Sosna into the conversation here.
Well, that's a big name we're going to be discussing a lot.
Yes. Maybe we look at it and say, well, this was all about Brandon Sosna and not about Mike Bone in the first place. Even if that's the case, he brought in Brandon Sosna, right? So you look at this and say that, yes, he did all these things that at the time appeared to be correct and right. People wanted SC to throw their weight around in the conference. They finally did that to the point where they left the conference. They go out and hire Lincoln Riley, something that SC has not done, to hire a coach of Lincoln Riley's ilk. SC had not done that in almost 100 years since they brought in Howard Jones. This, I can't tell you enough how the things that were done in the Mike Bone era had not been done at SC in decades and nearly a century.
Well, just the hiring of Lincoln Riley and the move to the Big Ten are the two biggest moves at USC in 100 years.
Yes. And then it just feels so USC for this to end up in controversy, right? It's like the Reggie Bush situation. You have the greatest player in the history of college football that you've ever seen in your life, and suddenly he's Voldemort. Why does this thing have to happen to SC? Why, even when SC gets things seemingly right, they didn't, because now it comes out that, he has these management problems and, he's had bad behavior and problematic behavior and all these things that potentially harassment. And now you look back at, so we were led astray. SC can't get out of their own way here. And it's frustrating to me also. Another factor of this is how many times have we sat here and said that SC needs to stop this insularity thing that they do, where they go out and they just hire from within and they hire the big name and all that stuff. And so they finally go out and they don't do that. And they get the results, but then you can argue at the end of the day, it was the same results, because not being at national championships,
that feels like Lynn Swann.
That's a Lynn Swann thing.
That's the whole thing. Yeah.
So now you end up in a situation where, are people going to overreact to this? Where, we went outside and we hired an AD from the outside, and look, he was just as poor in the job as Lynn Swann. So we might as well go out and hire Matt Leinart to be the next athletic director. You can't make that decision. But yet, the way this pans out, you can absolutely see people string that logic together, right? It's extremely frustrating as an alum to see anything that SC is touched related to in these instances ends up backfiring, even when seemingly they did something right. So when you talk about it being a net positive, I understand why you say that, and I see how you could argue that, but it's still at the same time, it's hard to say that with a straight face,
yes,
even if you have bullet points behind that with evidence.
What I mean by that specifically is the Brandon Sosna question. We talked about it when he got hired by the Lions. The word from the get-go had been the mastermind, the brainchild, the everything that was going on with USC's athletic department was Brandon Sosna.
Right.
That Mike Bone was the face, but that Brandon Sosna was the one pulling the strings and really getting things done, and that he deserved a lot of the credit for the Lincoln Riley hire, the Big Ten move, just the general organization of the athletic department, getting things back on track. And when he left, I don't know if we discussed this on air, but I know we discussed it in person. Would we see the deterioration of Mike Bone, the athletic, like, could Mike Bone do it on his own?
I think the answer seems to be no.
We seem to have the answer. So at least it's out within a year. At least you get to move on and hire somebody who's competent and good at their job and also knows how to act around women. Like the question that, as touched on, USC brings in, it's the vetting. The vetting is the big issue. And the vetting is something that I want to talk about. Carol Folt is taking a beating. I think Bill Plaschke in the LA Times wrote an article that was very harsh towards her. I think that the vetting is a very interesting question, especially because this was coming up at Cincinnati. How much was it coming up at Cincinnati is a question that I would like to know, because one of the things that I always find difficult is USC should have known. Well, who at Cincinnati was talking before now? Like, was this being brought up to people who would have had a say? Did USC not ask the right questions to the right people? Now the firm that USC hired to vet the candidate is definitely the where I'm looking at and saying, like, where did you miss this? Like, it's your job to know this. It's your job to get this. Like, this is the big, the big blank spot in the evaluation that clearly somebody did something wrong here. The vetting process is definitely a question that needs to be asked.
Alex in chat says, by the way, Michael, you are so negative. Past regimes would have done nothing. What USC and President Folt did is a clear sign of progression and maturing. I couldn't be more proud of USC. I want to believe you. Yes.
I'm with Alex on this.
I agree. At the same point, like, I'm 98% with you there. The only hesitation I have is that a lot of the things that at least that we see when you and I talk about football more than anything, we're not talking about athletics. I mean, academics and all that kind of thing, and researching those sort of things. The impact that we see that Carol Folt has had on this program, a lot of it stems back to the Mike Bone hire, right? And so the Mike Bone hire aging poorly
is not good for Carol Folt.
I agree. But I
think Alex is spot on here in the, especially using the word maturing.
Because this wasn't a cover up.
The USC of the past covers this up.
Yes.
Lets it go under the thing and doesn't say anything because the Mike Bone era is so good. Or they let the LA Times run the expose on Mike Bone being inappropriate. And then they let it blow over and they keep moving on with it. And like, that's very old USC. And I think that, that the idea, the thing that I think you can take heart in from a USC perspective is before the LA Times caught wind of this earlier this year, USC hires a law firm to do a review of the athletic department because of these issues that are being brought up.
Yeah.
I think that's
telling to give
Carol Folt some benefit
of the doubt.
We need
here.
To
yes.
absolve Carol Folt and the hiring process. It's not just Carol Folt. There's a panel of people who are doing this. Yeah. They paid money to a firm who was supposed to vet the candidates who clearly missed something big. All of these things that we're not going to let them off the hook. But I will say that there is a sense of moving forward to the idea that USC identified the problem, took steps to figure out what the problem, to figure it out, and that the resignation came
as soon as it
was clear it was going to come to light. And like, that's better than what has happened before.
Yes.
I have one other point.
Okay.
On this that I would like to, I am not engaging in whataboutism. I would just like to calm the sensation of why always us that I think USC fans rightly have, because USC has been in the middle of a lot of different storms that have been very embarrassing, frustrating, frankly, sickening in certain cases. All of those are very, very valid reasons to feel like it's always something with USC.
But I
now cover things on a national level. Alabama, you would not want to be Greg Byrne at Alabama right now. Alabama's athletic department has had incredibly bad things happen this year over the past year. Georgia has had some really tragic, questionable things happen over the last year. Michigan has had some really questionable things happen over the last year. Just this weekend, while USC is enjoying their latest scandal, Michigan hired the son of Bo Schembechler, who turned out to have really, really questionable likes on Twitter, liking all sorts of racially charged, politically charged, sort of anti-inclusive tweets on Twitter, and ended up having to fire him after he had been vetted. So I guess my whole thing is, when you know a lot about a program, when you're in it in a program, every big thing that happens feels like the biggest thing that's happening in college football, and it's not. So take that for what it is.
100%.
Some of the other biggest programs in the country are in the middle of their own storms, and that happens. And the frustration is absolutely real. I don't begrudge you that frustration.
Yes. I hear you. I'm with you. I think that there is a universal thing that people suck everywhere, right?
Like, yes. This is
at the same time. So as much as I agree that you could look at this and say, well, this is a Mike Bone thing. And at knowing USC, where things have been systemic, or they've allowed the bad apple to sort of be around for a long time, allowing it to then become systemic, that didn't happen, I think is, you know, a very poignant piece of nuance here. The problem, or the frustrating part for me, is that because of all the other stuff, because of all the other litany of things over the years, SC's not going to get that benefit of the doubt in the public's perception. And I know the public perception only means what it means, but this gets lumped in with all of the other stuff that was systemic.
Yes.
That was covered up, that was all of that, all of those other things. And
the whole idea of having Carol Foltz come in was to not have to deal with this crap anymore.
Yes.
And here we are.
Right. And yes, well, if you know, dealing with this correctly, if that's the thing that ends up being the final takeaway, which there's still a lot to, you know, come out with this. And I don't think we're completely have enough information to say that that's the case yet. You know, that's a win of itself, but it's not the full win when you still have to deal with this on top of everything else. So, and that's why I speak to the whole frustration of like, Bone was supposed to be the one that was working right. This was supposed to be the thing.
Yeah.
And, you know,
it felt good to feel like the athletic department was on the right track.
Like this one was not the one that was supposed to go haywire. And so Yeah, where does SC go from here? Where does SC go from here? Is sort of the question. Let's talk about Brandon Sosna. Brandon Sosna, I think, is the name that everyone is sort of going to bring up. You know, I brought up Brandon Sosna on Twitter on Friday. I think a lot of people did. I think he's a fascinating character here, especially if you can look at it. And I think it's, by the way, I think it's really easy to look at it now and say, oh, well, all the positives must have been Brandon Sosna, and it couldn't have possibly been Mike Bone. Mike Bone is only the negatives. And it's never going to be that binary, right? I think it's a little ridiculous to say that right now, or it's a little too easy to sort of strip it away to not have some nuance there. But I think that we can definitively say a lot of the big wins were heavily steered and influenced, encouraged by Brandon Sosna, given how much of a big role he played in the Lincoln Riley hire, the Big Ten stuff, all of that. Does that satisfy your requirement, your need for experience at the athletic department position, athletic director position going forward? Because we've talked about it forever. If you're going to hire someone who has done the job before, or who has is objectively earned that job. Well, Brandon Sosna does not have the experience of being an AD, but if he's shown all the other stuff, does that circumvent not having the AD job for you? Is Brandon Sosna the equivalent of a national championship winning defensive coordinator? Is he the Brent Venables of this situation where he's, you know what I mean?
I don't think the Brent Venables things work. The Brent Venables thing would work if he had been the right-hand man in an athletic department, for 20 years or something like that. That's the Brent Venables.
Sure.
The issue with Brandon Sosna is quite simply, he is very young.
Right.
Personally, I do not give a crap. If Brandon Sosna were willing to take this job, I would hand it to him yesterday.
Yes.
I honestly think that Brandon Sosna's competency, to me at this point, from what we all know, and obviously we don't always know everything because see the conversation we're having right now. But to what we know right now, Brandon Sosna's competency has never been questioned. It has only been backed up by everyone that I know who has worked with him, talked with him, all of that kind of stuff. Absolutely believes he is a star in the making, which is why I don't believe that he would take this job.
So
that's my only thing. If Brandon Sosna wanted it, I think you give it to him. Yes, he's young. Is he maybe my perception might be that maybe it's a question of the AD is sort of a figureheady job too, where it's a lot of glad handing and a lot of just trying to garner donations and all that kind of stuff. Is that what Brandon Sosna wants to do? That's my thing is he went to the Lions for a reason. It feels like he's a future GM in the NFL for very good reason. I don't see.
Yeah.
Getting an AD job at this point for him, what feels like it would be unprecedented. I don't know. I don't exactly track the hiring of ADs across the country.
Well, how old was most of them Martin Jarmond when he started it? To be an AD at BC or whatever.
I have no idea.
Can't be that much different. I think that the Sosna stuff is interesting because everyone who ever talks about Brandon Sosna talks about him in the ways people talked about Theo Epstein.
Yes.
And Theo Epstein, the original Boy Wonder GM himself, became the GM at 30 or whatever it was and won a World Series with the Red Sox. That sort of seems like what Brandon Sosna is primed to do is to be a GM.
Yeah.
And I think that he's with the Detroit Lions, and he's been with, he's worked with multiple teams now. I that seems like the pathway for him, seems like the end goal. And I don't know that an athletic director role is necessarily the same. But that's just my weird outsider perspective. The other side of this is, like Touchdown USC brought up in the chat, would Folter hire from Bone's Tree? I think that's a valid question, because right now, last week, I think we'd absolutely say, like, if Bone retired and this was a retirement situation, there'd be no question about that. Yes, you'd be comfortable with that. But when you have this sort of thing, it might be a little awkward to go back to the Mike Bone Tree. And there would be questions of, was Sasna potential? Like, did he know any of these things? Was he just, in a back room and focused on everything else? Like, I don't know any of those things. The answers to any of those questions, I don't think anyone does publicly right now. But that you have to ask those questions seemingly would be a negative in his candidacy, right?
Yeah.
And then, so for you, what is your profile beyond talking about Sasna? What is your profile of what the next AD should look like?
So, yeah, I think Sasna's sort of like in his own category because of the familiarity at USC and all of that. And it's not like one of those like USC legacy hires. No, like the only reason you'd be hiring him is because he did a very, very good job in his role at USC. And that
hiring from within is not a problem, by the way.
No, it's not.
USC only hired from within.
And not from within. They only hired former football players.
Yes.
Which is overlooking, competent, department deputies and stuff who didn't put on pads and play football and win awards or whatever. And, that's a whole other question.
But like there's also a difference between hiring someone from within because they know the program.
Yes.
And hiring someone within because they're very good
and you're keeping your talent from within.
Yes.
Like that's hire somebody from within if they are a star. Do it. I don't know if there's someone in the current athletic department who is that star. I don't know that I would know that, but I think that if you set the Sasna question to the side, because he doesn't fit this criteria.
Mm-hmm.
If you're USC, you go out and find someone who has been an athletic director, who has done a good job as an athletic director. Maybe you go out and find somebody who has been a Pac-10, a Big Ten athletic director.
It would be wild.
Hmm.
How much money would it take to get Martin Jarman?
You know what the conversation that USC had when they decided to go pursue Lincoln Riley might have begun exactly like that. You know what would be wild? How much money would it take to go get Lincoln Riley? Like,
right.
I don't know. I think it would be the most shocking event possible.
Sure.
I would be in favor of it. It would be incredible. The pure.
Oh, what it mean for the rivalry? What it would mean for all of the,
yes.
Insane.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. A+. Martin Jarman has been an athletic director before, has been a successful athletic director.
He's like, wait, I don't have to listen to the Board of Regents.
I don't have to
anymore?
Deal with the Board of Regents.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, I get to go be fully committed to football and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah,
like,
now he's got to deal with a Board of Trustees that has like Steven Spielberg on it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, or Rick Caruso and someone, but
the crux is Martin Jarman is a perfect example.
If the UCLA thing wasn't, if, for those who aren't aware, Martin Jarman is the UCLA athletic director.
Yes.
He's doing a very good job at UCLA, by the way. At least from what we have seen, it seems like he's doing a good job at UCLA. Someone like Martin Jarman. Yes, exactly. Somebody who is, who has athletic directing experience, who is to me on the younger side. Like, I'm not saying that you need to like discount everybody above 65, but like also like be real, be in the moment. The college football has never been more fluid and changing and just open to just things that go their way. Like somebody who's not stuck in the rut, it would be nice. Malcolm in the chat says, I wouldn't be shocked if a woman becomes the top candidate. If a woman is qualified for the job, absolutely. Yes. I really don't care. If Carol Folt could find a woman who hasn't been given the opportunity to take on that role because this is the way that athletics rolls, like, I think that would be lovely. But really what it comes, and in that case, if we were talking like a woman who's a top candidate, I soften the have they been an athletic director before such a question, because now you're talking about like, were they even given an opportunity to be an athletic director before, which is a whole other question. But again, you're looking at who are the stars of other athletic departments? Who are the ones that you look at who, like the Brandon Sossnas of the world? Who's the next Theo Epstein? Who's the one that people are talking about? I do bring up the Big Ten just because USC is moving to the Big Ten. I think it would be interesting if USC hired somebody who already had relationships in that conference. Is that something you want? Do you want maybe an outsider who comes in and tries to shake things up? I mean, these are questions that I think USC needs to ask themselves and ponder.
I know the Big Ten stuff comes up. I will say that, like, I've seen things about, oh, this is terrible timing for USC. I'm going to disagree on that thing. Not that there is a right time for any of this. Obviously, this is, you know, you don't ever want to go through one of these things and all of that. But the worst potential timing would have been, A, if SC was still staying in the Pac-12 and had to deal with the TV contract. They don't. If the Big Ten move was still in flux, it's not. And if they still had to go out and make a Lincoln Riley hire, they don't. Like, this is not the worst time in the world for SC to go out and hire an athletic director, knowing that the three biggest jobs, well, the four biggest jobs, both basketball teams, football and baseball, the hiring of all of those coaches are not one that you have to worry about right
only
now.
One. That's a good point, because of the big four, only one is even a conversation we'd be having about whether or not a new hire needed to be made.
Which is Enfield.
If Enfield's hot seat got him fired, that wouldn't be until, I mean, we're talking a year.
We've talked about it before. Like, Enfield...
And you don't need
realistically,
to.
Realistically, Enfield's job should not be on the
you
line.
You don't, and that's the sweet spot that Enfield has put himself in, is he doesn't need to get fired because he keeps recruiting well and he keeps
right.
You know,
it's the Bo Pelini situation.
Yeah, just if you're the AD, minus
expectations.
And this is a sweet spot for like any other. Well, I guess this in the case because USC's coaches of the past two decades have been sort of in unique positions, but. In the situation where, like, normally a football head coach would be under pressure knowing that a new AD is coming in, except you're Lincoln frickin' Riley and you don't have to worry about that at all. And yeah, if you're.
Especially when Lincoln Riley has some sort of. Certainly has more autonomy than, say, Clay Helton did.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah, he has to. Yeah. But this is also the other thing is, if you're USC, you are in a position of power here, because the athletic department at USC possibly has never been in a stronger position to compete to hire an athletic director. Like, you're the athletic director and you get to come in knowing that, like, Lincoln Riley's already there. Mm-hmm. The hard part's been done. The basketball program, if you wanted to be more ambitious, you could make that move, but you don't have to.
The job is not to crash the plane.
The baseball program feels like that's a good hire, and maybe that's a conversation you need to have a few years down the line, but it's not an immediate conversation you need to have. Same with the women's basketball. New hire, people feel good about it. Like, you know, go in there. So USC is in a really strong position to be able to offer this job to people. So
it's certainly a completely different situation than it was last time.
Yes.
Where, you know, SC was in the worst possible position to make an AD hire. when the football team was down, there were all the scandals, all the FBI investigations, all of that. The timeline on the top of my head, can't completely tell you exactly there were so many investigations. I'm not sure which one was before or after, but were all in that general time frame, right? Like,
and this gets back to what I was saying before that we agree it's like difficult to word it, but the timing could be worse in that USC could have gone through the Big Ten transition with someone who wasn't good at their job, as it turns out, and managing a department that needed to be managed very well because they're transitioning all of their sports.
Plus, I think that this is a good carrot too, because I think that when you go out and get an AD, I think that this is just like hiring a GM of any professional sports team. GM wants to go in and put their stamp on something, right? Like, often they want to come in and they want to like change something. They want to fire somebody, just maybe not to fire someone to fire someone, but you want to be able to like have your, you know, fingerprints on something, right? Even though SC is in a position to where, yes, you could get aggressive and get rid of Andy Henfield if you really wanted to, that you're in a position of stability right now with the athletic department, aside from this whole Mike Bone thing, the transition to the Big Ten allows you to put your I think is a carrot, because you can come in here and you can establish what SC's role is in that conference, what SC's role is going to be in the meetings and all that stuff, how much cachet SC is going to have, how much of a voice SC is going to have versus Michigan and Ohio State and Rutgers. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's going to be an interesting little tidbit there. Let's get to the mailbag, Alicia. We got a bunch of questions right here on the chat live on YouTube. As always, if you're not watching us live on YouTube, you can watch us every Monday night at 5 p.m. Pacific. Of course, not next week, because that's Memorial Day. We're not going to have a show on Memorial Day. So we'll be off 1 week, but we'll be back 2 weeks from now. But let's get to the old mailbag. Alicia, you know the only good thing about football season being over?
There's literally nothing good about the football season being over. It's just an endless wait until the fall.
See, that's where you're wrong. It's tournament season. The best way to take your mind off the endless wait.
That is true. I may not want to watch the men play, but the USC women are pretty awesome.
Exactly, but it's not just SC. There's high-stake basketball moments all over the country. But you know what? They get even better with Prize Picks.
So you're saying the only thing better than watching Juju Watkins is taking the more on Juju Watkins.
Bingo. You can now turn your hoops knowledge and love of Juju Watkins into serious cash, because you can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. Turn $10 into $1,000 with college basketball, NBA, and NHL entries. Best of all, Prize Picks lets you get on the action on more than 30 states across the country, including Texas, Georgia, and California.
That sounds pretty good to me.
Yeah, download the app today. Use the code RANOFTROY for a first deposit match up to $100.
That's the Prize Picks app with the code RANOFTROY for the first deposit match up to $100.
Pick more.
Pick less.
It's that easy.
Hey, everyone. It's Mike Silva from Talkin' Mets. I am always about helping my listeners, and today I want to help you eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. My wife and I tried it, and we love it. Every fresh, never frozen meal is chef crafted, dietitian approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. I was tired after a long day the other night, and I was at the table eating a delicious meal just minutes after walking in the door. Are you looking for a gourmet meal? Try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccoli, and asparagus. You can also choose from a weekly menu of 35 options like calorie smart, keto, protein plus, or vegan and veggie. Don't forget your add-ons. There are 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? The Mets set the playoffs as their goal this year. Get started today and fuel up your springtime goals with Factor. Head to factormeals.com/Mets50 and use code Mets50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box. That's code METS50 at factormeals.com/METS50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. I tried Factor and loved it. Why don't you?
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You've got mail.
All right. Alex says, was Cincinnati glad to get rid of Mike Bone?
Well, okay. If you read the article from the LA Times, they end on that note. And that's the quote is from a particular person. It might just be their opinion.
Yeah.
But it sounds like maybe the people within the department felt fortunate to not have to deal with it anymore.
Not have to broach the issue in the same way.
Well, that know? Cincinnati didn't have to be the one that had the, or, you know, the Cincinnati right. Inquirer peeking around and coming out with this stuff. Like, I think that was sort of the vibe that I got. But so yeah.
Yeah, let's go to a message we got from Dan on Discord. Who says here's the hottest of takes with the fire emoji. You want to offer the AD job to David Shaw? Obviously this is not I don't think it's a serious question. I'm of two minds. Do I think David Shaw could be someone who could be an AD? Yeah, I actually do. I think that he absolutely could be that guy. But the answer is no. Like we say that SC shouldn't go out and hire the next version of Mike Garrett, Pat Hayden, and Lynn Swan, which is probably, what, Matt Leinart or Carson Palmer or something. But that also would apply to David Shaw. He's just Stanford's version of that. And David Shaw needs to, you know, prove it first. Well, before you hire a guy just because of the name.
I think this disqualifies David Shaw. David Shaw was very clearly not a fan of NIL, of transfer portal, of
wasn't a fan of SC leaving the conference.
All of the directions that college football is moving, David Shaw has clearly not been on board with.
Yes.
I think that the AD you hire needs to be prepared to handle those things, embrace them. Go ride the wave, right, as it were. I would not.
I love David Shaw as a person.
David Shaw as a person, like to have him.
I think if he was interested, he could be decent. Maybe
Have him associated with USC, I wouldn't be against it. But I don't think that would be a good hire for USC. I also just think in general, the athletic department experience is something very high on my list. As I've said before, preferably an AD, but I'll make some exceptions for those who have not been ADs, but are well within an athletic department structure. This is also why, like, we're going to hear names like the same names we heard, you know, a decade ago, Condoleezza Rice, Oliver Luck, like all of these names.
Those are people who I think would be qualified to be an AD, but we've talked about them for a decade now and they haven't been an AD, which
sort of signals to you that then don't force them to do
it. Yes.
That's not something they want to actually do.
Yes. I would agree. Fighting on MC says Ryan Abraham mentioned on his last show, the Parasol podcast, that he would like to be the USC AD. He fits a candidate with no AD experience. We love Ryan to death. I haven't listened to their latest episodes. When things come out like this, I try not to listen to our friends across
until we've recorded. Yeah,
because you know you don't want to end up with the same parodying the same thing, you know, subconsciously or whatever. But let's talk about Ryan as the AD. I think you know he would know not to make the mistakes that the other people made.
Yes,
right, seemingly.
Yes.
Seemingly.
Yes. I mean, USC could do worse than Ryan Abraham. I think you'd definitely be hiring somebody who wants to see USC succeed. Like,
yes.
I don't know.
I think he might have to recuse himself of his role.
No offense to Ryan. Well, yeah, that's the thing, is like USCfootball.com is an institution.
He knows the fight song.
You wouldn't want to, he does know the fight song. I would hope that USC aims a little bit higher. No offense to Ryan.
He's like 6'3" or something.
It's true. He's very tall. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? That'd be fun.
Yeah. Alex says, what's going on in Alabama and Georgia? We would love to know what to feel about at USC.
Oh, I mean, just like Alabama's basketball program, the current state of their basketball program and the players within Georgia, the current state of, I know Georgia is coming off of a national title win and all that kind of stuff, but like they also had some really tragic and tragically questionable stuff happen within the program. Yeah. There's a lot of other stuff that's come up that, we just wouldn't have time to get into, to be honest. But if you sort of follow some of the storylines, they're not great around, especially around Alabama. Alabama.
Well, you had the baseball, the gambling thing.
You had the star
basketball
thing.
Player who was involved in that murder thing. That I don't know the details of, so I'm just not even going to go further than that.
Well, go
research it, and I don't want to speak out of turn here.
Multiple Alabama basketball players were present at a murder scene. One of them is being charged as an accessory to murder. One of them, I call it, did a hockey assist to a murder, which is allegedly did. And there's questions about how the athletic department handled that particular drip of information.
Go Bing it, Google it, whatever. I say Bing it because Elise is a weirdo who bings.
Hey, they give me Starbucks.
They're literally paying you to use their.
They literally pay me to use their search engine.
It tells you what's wrong with it.
Yeah, I'm just saying. They give me free Starbucks. Like, yes. Yes, I am that.
All right. Fred says, what position group will be most improved in 2023? We're turning the page. Not talking about Bone at the moment.
Again. Yeah. Position group will be most improved. The one I hope is linebacker. I hope linebacker. Need it to be linebacker?
I mean, SC has gotten brought in, so I'll give you one. Besides linebacker, which is the one that you definitely want to see, but the front seven in general, the front six, whatever. The defensive line, you bring in Bear Alexander, you bring in Anthony Lucas, you bring in Jack Sullivan, all those guys, Jamal Muhammad. I think that there's dudes there. To sort of improve on a defensive line that was basically Thule and everybody else last year. I think there's going to be more talent to sort of have the line contribute as a whole, which I think is going to be good for USC's defense. And then obviously you want to see the growth at linebacker because that was the hole on the team. That was absolutely the hole. Eric Gentry was someone that we saw a lot of flashes from, but we still needed to see more. He got injured as well, which didn't help out. So, yeah, definitely the linebackers would be the one that you would hope to take a step forward. Fred says, which one takes the biggest step back?
I think that there is a decent chance
it's the O-line.
Offensive line probably takes a step back from where it was last year because it was outstanding last year. And sustaining that when you've had so many guys turn over, even though you've replaced them well, there's still guys who have just arrived who need time to settle in and play together and all of this kind of stuff. That kind of stuff matters.
It's a little weird, though, with the offensive line because they were so good in run blocking. So the run blocking might take a step back because you got to replace so many guys. However, the pass blocking, I think you really hope doesn't take a step back because there's a lot of improvement that the pass blocking could have.
My honest answer, and it's sort of one of my fears, is corner.
Okay.
Just because USC had an all Pac-12 level corner in Mekhi Blackmon last year, and I think USC has the potential in the corner group to have the group as a whole sort of step up to rise back up to that level.
Yeah.
But am I certain, 100% certain, that USC has a single corner who will match what Mekhi Blackmon did for USC last year at cornerback? I don't know.
No.
And that uncertainty is why I'd pick that group potentially.
A year ago, would you have said that about Mekhi Blackmon?
No.
So that could be the case with Christian Roland Wallace.
Yeah.
It could be the case with Damani Jackson if he ends up being the five-star guy that, you know, playing to that five-star potential.
Yeah. USC has the potential. It's just seeing it come through. Yeah. Might take a step back.
Yeah. Fred's last question here is, where does the Kentucky Derby rank on your sporting calendar hierarchy? It's up there, man. Absolutely up there. Kentucky Derby is awesome. The whole Triple Crown is awesome. I'm a big advocate for watching horse racing. Love going to the track. Love me some Derby talk. So yeah, it's high up there for me. First Saturday of every May. It's great.
Yeah, I think if there's one horse race I watch every year without fail, it tends to be the Derby. Yeah. And that puts it pretty damn high on my sports calendar.
There's the Derby, there's the Santa Anita Derby, there's the Big Cap,
Kentucky Derby.
There's the,
I also tend to catch the Belmont.
Belmont's the worst one. It's a mile
Belmont,
and a half.
Is Belmont the first one?
The last one.
It's the last one. Yeah. Oh, so maybe I don't catch the Belmont. What's the first one?
Kentucky Derby.
Oh, is the Kentucky? What's the third? What's the one I'm missing in my
Preakness.
Head? Preakness. Yeah. That's the one. Preakness. Yeah.
All right. One more question here from Alex before we get into one thing that we wanted to bring up here at the end. Alex says, is the 2023 season Alex Grinch's last at USC? Either he gets a head coaching job after 2023 or he gets fired. That's not a bad shout, because if he does, we've talked about before, it's put up or shut up, right? So I guess this adds the wrinkle of, if he puts up, does he promote out? I think that's probably a good, reasonable thought. Like, that's not a bad bet.
I don't think it's a bad bet at all. Do I think that one good year for USC's defense channels him into a head coaching position? Not necessarily, but it's not outside of the realm of possibility. And certainly it's not outside the realm of possibility that he gets fired after this year if things don't go well. I like the question. I like the thought that it provokes in terms of, like, yeah, that's, it's a real possibility, that either way, one way or the other, that comes through. But
yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Grinch. Matt Kumagai in the chat says Grinch for AD. Don't think that's going to happen. but of course we will see. But we're going to wrap up this episode with controversy that I was going to start the episode with, but I think the Mike Bone thing kind of took precedence. I want to address a tweet that I put out recently, and it garnered some, got some negative feedback about it, and I wanted to apologize, clarify, issue an all those statements. The tweet I said was, quote, here's the thing. Hot food is bad. Food is best warm. Yes, this includes soups. Then I know that angered some people. I know that a lot of people were upset. USC Psycho replied, quote, bro, I think someone hacked into your Twitter account and posted this madness. Remember Murdy, who's in the chat, says you are one strange person not to like hot food being hot. Our friend Richard said, what? 10SC Trojan says, what's wrong with you? Hot foods are best hot. Cold foods are best cold. Warm is nasty when it comes to food. I'm just going to say it like it is. If you have to blow on your food or eat your soup, like, what are you doing? Like, that's not a way to enjoy food. Like, I'm sorry. I don't want to eat something that burns. I want to be able to, if I order some fries, I want to be able to touch the fries and not go, oh, that's hot. I want to be able to touch my food. I want to, if it's, you know, handheld, of course. I'm not a weirdo here. Really not. Don't want to burn my tongue off. And when I say warm, I think people think that means room temperature. Warm doesn't mean room temperature. Warm means it's not piping hot. Piping hot is uncomfortably hot. I don't want things uncomfortably hot. I want things very warm. You know what I mean? Like, I want it hot, but not burning my mouth off. Like, I don't understand how people drink coffee.
I just feel like this is...
Like, you pour it down, it's got to, like, completely just burn off all your taste buds.
I hate a burnt tongue. I'm not going to lie. So I guess I fall on your side of this whole debate, if it's a debate. I mean, food at a comfortable temperature is probably ideal for me, and that
comfortably warm. That's comfortable what I
temperature
want.
For me. But then again, I have like friends who say that like the food should be scalding. And it's like, no, I don't want scalding food. That's fine. No. It's yeah, I agree with Matt Kumagai in the chat. The issue here is a misunderstanding of warm. Like, yes. You don't mean lukewarm. No, you mean warm as opposed to one, okay. Like,
you know what
you
it
have
is?
Hot and then you have warm. You know what it is?
Let me explain.
Lukewarm, room temperature.
You go into a shower. You turn the shower on.
Yeah.
You put it full blast. That's hot.
Yeah, no.
You put full blast. Hot is not what you want. You're going to walk out of there looking like a lobster in the worst way. No, you turn it down a little bit to your like, oh, this is nice and toasty warm. That's what I want my food to be like. I want it to be, and mind you, I'm okay with room temperature food in most instances. So, like, I'm not hating on the idea of room temperature food, but yeah. When I'm talking about warm, I still mean it's hot. Like, it's not hot, hot. I don't want to burn my mouth.
I tend to agree in general. I just don't want food that burns my mouth. That's And Touchdown USC asks, Indian food? No, you don't want to hear his take on any food that is spicy. Like, if we're talking spicy hot.
First of all, you
I am
are,
very sensitive to spicy food.
You are worse with spice than I am.
That is not true because
that is
I
true.
Eat pepperoni, Michael.
I've had pepperoni.
You don't like pepperoni. Why?
I don't choose it because it's too spicy.
But I choose pepperoni. I like that.
You don't like your beans spiced.
No, because I don't. I want my beans just.
You don't want cumin in your beans or paprika in your beans or chili powder in your beans.
Because beans are fine on their own. They don't need. Just be pure. They're
but
fine.
But you say it's too spicy. So like.
No, that's different. That's different. Mm-hmm. Now, see, I like Indian food, but I. It's a struggle. It's a struggle for me because. Like the good Indian places don't, their mild is not even, I can't do it. And like, it's not a question of like the flavor. The flavors are good. It's just my palate cannot handle the heat that people who really enjoy Indian food love. It's my lot in life. Doesn't work for me. So yeah. It's where we're at, but yeah, no to spicy food, no to hot food.
Mm. All right. Anyways, I just wanted to address the whole warm thing.
Yeah.
There's, warm does not mean cooled off. It means it's not going to burn my tongue.
Comfortable.
Yeah. All right. That's going to end this episode. As always, you can email us at randoftroy@fanside.com. You know how to reach us otherwise, Twitter, wherever. Join us here on YouTube, of course, every Monday, except next Monday, which is Memorial Day, at 5 p.m. Pacific. But you can also join the membership here. We have the Rot Squad for $4.99 a month. You can join us. We did get a nice, lovely message from our pal Tim in L.A. who says, shameless plug from the membership, following along with you guys in the Discord in real time while going full tinfoil hat over every word choice in the statements last Friday with Mike Bone was fun.
That's the Discord is really fun. You know, as stuff happens, we're just reacting to it in real time and all coming to a point of understanding together. And it's a good time. And we're getting nearer the season when we will have even more and more and more to react to. So yeah, it's good times in there.
Yeah. Also we got a chat message from Joe. I think it was Joe. I might have missed this earlier. I think
Joe, the Notre Dame fan.
The Notre Dame fan. Yes. And
welcome.
Alicia is a Notre Dame grad, so you're right at home.
Nice.
So, all right. Until next time, see ya. Yeah. See ya.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.